Today's reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapters 2, verses 18 to 29. And you can find this on page 1029 of the Pew Bibles. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "The words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to you, each of you, according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from the Father. And I'll give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
Thanks, Clarence. Hello there, I'm Kev. I'm the senior minister at Euston Church. It's great to have you with us this afternoon, especially if you wouldn't normally be around with us at the 3 p.m. I hope you'll be able to stay around at the end and join us for a time together downstairs. I thought we'd start with a quiz today. So you're going to see some quotes come up. Are they quotes by the President of America or are they lines from Taylor Swift songs? Okay, can you spot which is which? We won't do hands up, but you might want to compare notes with the person beside you. There's the first one. I've got 100 thrown out speeches I almost said to you. Is that Taylor or Trump? It's Taylor, someone said it is. Yeah, next one. I'm only cryptic and Machiavellian because I care. That's Taylor as well. Yeah, well done. Change your altitude and gain some change your attitude and gain some altitude. Believe me, you'll love it up here. That's Trump. That's from his book, The Deal. Next one. I was so ahead of the curve became a sphere. That's Taylor, actually. Next, he wrote me beautiful letters, and they are great letters, and we fell in love. It is Trump, actually. It's his bromance with Kim Jong-un. And then next, what have we got next? It's a revolution. The time will come for us to finally win. That's Taylor. So there you go. It turned out that it's harder than you think to spot the difference. That was a bit of silliness. The point is, I think that was the last. Is that the last one, Ronan? Yeah, last one. Thank you. The point is, basically, you think you know someone, therefore you think you know the kinds of things that they'll say. So, yeah, we know what Trump's like on the news, so we expect him to say certain things. That sounds like a Taylor Swift line because of my knowledge of all of her previous albums. It can be harder than you think to spot the difference. How well do you know Jesus? And how is that reflected in the kind of things that you would expect him to say? So would you expect quotes like, "I have this against you that you tolerate," Jesus not liking tolerance. "I will throw her onto a sick bed. I will strike her children dead." Strong. Scary. Surprising. Maybe we don't know Jesus as well as we think we do. Revelation is expanding our view of him. Sentence 18 expands it again. The words of the Son of God are eyes like a flame of fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. The all-seeing eye, the God-man. Is God allowed to say what teaching should and shouldn't be tolerated in his church? Jesus' words here might be difficult for us on a number of levels. So as a culture, we prize tolerance. In particular, we're nervous about saying you're wrong to anyone in the realm of religion. And then there's how much teaching even matters. Would it make your top three criteria as you look for your next church? The teaching, Would you leave a church because of what is or isn't taught there? Should we leave our denomination because of the teaching? That's a live issue for us in the Church of England. Jesus says there's teaching that could be seriously dangerous for your spiritual health. So, anyone who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. First, a growing church in a trading town. Verse 18 again. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write. Unlike the previous cities we visited, this was not a significant regional center. One of the commentaries describes Thyatira least known, least important, and least remarkable of the seven cities. That's a pretty rude write-up from Lonely Planet. But in this average town, a lively church. Verse 19, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. These report cards or TripAdvisor church reviews, Jesus tends to begin with encouragement, not because he's been on a course on how to deliver feedback. These are genuine positive observations. They love. One of the churches had a love problem. Thyatira church full of love and faith and serving and endurance, all of which we know already Jesus esteems. And new thing, we haven't heard about a church yet, end of verse 19, your latter works exceed the first. These were the believers growing more and more in faith and service. How challenging will Jesus be able to say that about Euston Church after 20 years, 50 years? Very easy to take a one-dimensional view of churches, good church, bad church, make assumptions about an individual based on what church they're at. But most of the churches Jesus writes to here are mixed bag churches, mixed in that in some ways they're going well, in other ways they're rebuked. Mixed in that some of the people in them are going well, others not. Be easy, because we value correct teaching here at Euston Church, to assume that we have none of their difficulties. We need to keep reading these letters with a spirit of prayer and humble self-examination. Could their problem be our problem? Verse 20, I have this against you, says Jesus, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who he thinks they shouldn't have tolerated. And this is our second point. Now listen, verse 20 to 23 are some of the strongest in the whole seven letters. Maybe some of the most surprising quotes you think you could ever hear from the lips of gentle Jesus. Let me offer an illustration by way of what's going on here. So our family love a good beach holiday. A few years ago, we went to a seaside caravan park at Easter. Lovely weather for the time of year, lots of beach time. Just one annoyance to me, there were these signs everywhere beside the beach, signs like that, different coloured ones. This was the worst one, military firing range, keep out. Who puts a military firing range right next to a holiday park? It was a particularly cheap holiday, maybe that was something to do with it. But it would be mad if I wrote to the holiday camp to say, take these signs down, they're really upsetting me. Even madder if they wrote back to say, sorry for spoiling your holiday, of course we'll take them down. Now, it was important that we know. Imagine there was no signs or fences. Kids wandering onto the firing range with their buckets and spades. We'd consider that neglect. We wouldn't tolerate it. Yeah, we're right to rate tolerance. But we also have what you might call a righteous intolerance. We don't tolerate harm of the vulnerable. Jesus is love, and it's from that place of love that he speaks in love, because he wants to protect us from this terrible threat that could destabilize, even destroy your faith. These verses are intense and graphic because they're the equivalent of those danger signs. Don't go there. Fake teaching is much worse than fake news. It's more like enticing children off the beach and onto a minefield. Rest of verse 20. Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. Same issues as last week. That was what the Caesar worshippers and Zeus idolaters did in the trade guilds and cafes of Thyatira. Superstitious sacrifices to so-called gods. Everybody does it. Disloyal if you don't join in. Sometimes a sexual element. In verse 21 and 22, they're also describing how God views it spiritually when his people bow to other gods. Again, same as last week. Adultery. Two-timing him. So Jesus and bowing to the family's gods. Jesus and bowing to the peer group. The difference this week is that the two-timing is now taught actually inside the church. Christian teachers saying, Jesus is fine with it. Jezebel is a nickname. We need to go back in that Old Testament time machine again. Actual Jezebel. The issue was not her gender. The Old Testament character leading them astray last week was a bloke. The issue is that she, from within the family of God, led the people off to worship other gods as well. Other gods like Baal. I mean, it seems ridiculous, doesn't it? Should we worship the Lord of heaven and earth, or shall we worship a stick man with a 10-pin bowling pin on his head? The thing about Baal worship was it's what everyone did. Play along for a quiet life. Teacher Jezebel says it's no big deal. So thank you, Baal, for all you've done for me. See why the real Lord would take that personally? Fast forward to first century Thyatira. Actual Jezebel's now long dead. By the way, you should read her obituary in 2 Kings 9. She gets thrown out of a window and eaten by dogs. It's worth a read. Thyatira church has a teacher like Jezebel, seducing the Christians to think it's okay compromising with the gods of those around them. Now, you might think if you had a Jezebel in your church, she'd be easy to spot. But she doesn't go around with a name badge on that says Jezebel. She doesn't come saying, just so you know, I'm one of those what they call false teachers. Her teaching's attractive, deep sounding, and very dangerous. I guess your favorite online preacher isn't encouraging you to recognize the gods of Rome by burning incense. And yet, teaching that encourages us to embrace the spirit of the age has always been seductive to the people of God. And there's loads of places we could go on this. Let's try not to move too far from the issues for them then. Food sacrifice to idol gods so you were acceptable at work and in business. While the so-called prosperity gospel encourages you to idolize career advancement and material gain. Encouraged by Christian preachers, as long as you basically say, it's all to the glory of God, you're good to sacrifice yourself on the altar of workaholism, Jesus, and the idols of capitalism. Or sex is mentioned. In their culture, sex was often part of religion. In our culture, sex is the religion, quite an intolerant religion, if you don't sign up to its definition of freedom. We have ministers and denominational leaders redefining sexual ethics away from the received teaching of Scripture, which has always been the teaching of the church everywhere and which Jesus has given for all our flourishing. Now, Jesus and the spirit of the age sexually, as teachers say, sex is not exclusively created for marriage between one man and one woman. And let me say, I'm really sorry to those of us for whom this is deeply personal and painful. It's hard enough to hold fast when the pressure is from the world out there, when spiritual leaders are sounding deeper than the plain reading of the Bible. Very hard to resist. And it leads people away from the Lord. Because in the terms of that diagram up there, you've stepped out of the B box where this, the Bible, is your bottom line. His eternal unchanging voice. your bottom line becomes the voices of reason or institutions or experience, which have their place, but all polluted by sin and all fluctuate over time. Sadly, what I've observed in people over the years, people I know, is once they move away from Scripture as their bottom line, i.e. when there's a clash with the Bible and experience or current human reason wins the day, they tend to go down a path where the other less reliable voices get louder and the sound gets turned more and more down on Jesus' sure voice. Wandering from the voice of Jesus doesn't end well. The end of the story in Revelation is either listening to Jesus, loyal to Jesus, with him forever, or your truth's not enough, Jesus. We don't trust you good enough. We're not as attracted to you as we are to what the world offers. That's ultimately to side with Satan's lies. And it's really binary when you read the end of Revelation. You marry Jesus, or you meet him as judge. You can say verse 22 and 23 here is picture language, clearly, though, of something horrible. There's no future for teachers like Jezebel. You really don't want to be led down the path with them, do you? Now, if you're new, if you're visiting, if you're exploring faith, this is not the Bible reading I would naturally have gravitated to for your first time here. But it's important that you know. A child enticed into the danger zone is a terrible thing. A vulnerable soul seduced away from Jesus is a terrible thing. So how do we respond to Jesus' words here? Well, what if you are a Jezebel? Well, verse 21, it's strong words of warning here. They're a kindness, though, because even now, if she woke up to her adultery, it wouldn't be too late, but she refuses. And I want to keep pointing the finger here, you know, at Kev first in all of these letters. I don't want to become a false teacher. I was thinking it'd be quite a short step for me, this. How accepting of all lifestyles that minister is. What a reasonable church. We're learning in these letters that Jesus won't have his churches make a choice between truth and love. Should we focus on truth or love? He insists that we dive into both and that they're not separate wings. So the best way for me to love you, friends, is to point us to his sure voice in here, because he is love and all of his words are so loving and good. This is the same Jesus from the Gospels who's talking to us in this letter. Pray that we teachers at Euston Church stay faithful to him. Are there Jezebels out there today? Well, if the church circles that we're part of never entertain the possibility, that would be a worry. It's not my place to judge individual teachers' hearts and minds. Jesus says in verse 23, he's the one who searches mind and heart. So what's the difference between a theologian who plans to lead a whole denomination astray and that well-meaning but liberal vicar at the end of your street? Well, Jesus knows the difference. We can trust his judgment to be 100% spot on. But we will have to name unhelpful teachers and dangerous teaching from the front every now and then, not because of grumpiness, because we want to keep us safe. So if you do hold to her kind of teaching, be careful, because it's the same fate for the people who are led astray. You won't be able to blame Jezebel. And let's be honest, we've all compromised with the idols of sex and money and the spirit of the age in all kinds of ways. To repent, as it says here, is to admit that and run back to the good voice of Christ, which is secure and liberating, ironically. The other voice is seduced with promises of freedom. But when we walk away from this, well, that causes division and confusion inside the churches. And more generally, it leaves you adrift with nothing better than you do you, which, to be honest, is too much of a burden for any of us to bear. God made you. Rootedness, security, actual flourishing and freedom come when we are led by our good maker's voice. And that's why ours and other churches in a network called the Alliance, you Google it, Alliance Church of England, makes up about half the Church of England, actually. St. Helens Network, HTB, Commission, KXC, this isn't a Euston church, Quirk. We've said to the bishops that we can't tolerate being led by them to the extent that they continue embracing the spirit of the age on sexual ethics, where Jesus has actually been clear. This is not about church politics. It's about pastoral care. It's that I don't want any of our stories ending in verse 22. This is the kind of passage, you know, it makes me instinctively want to say sorry. Sorry would be the wrong thing to say, though, because it's big, serious stuff, Christianity, and it's important that you know. So if you don't hold to the Jezebel teaching, Jesus doesn't want to burden you. You might feel burdened and anxious after what we've said today, but it's not complicated. Verse 25, just do the simple thing of holding on to what you have, his voice, until he comes. Your main job is not to be the policeman and judge of all the false teaching in London today. Your job is to hold fast to this. Do you know what they say the main training is if you want to become an expert in spotting fake art? Know the real thing really well. So add this to your list of reasons to come to midweek. Every week in God's truth is false teaching avoidance training. And guys, please think teaching matters. Online, when you check churches out, please think it matters if you see the teaching going wrong here. Satan thinks teaching matters. It's his main weapon. And all this warning, you know, it's for such a positive purpose. This is about staying stable so you get to see Jesus. You want to see him, don't you? Well, your future is with him if you hold fast. Verse 26, sound a bit of a weird incentive? I'll give authority over the nations. People like us, you'll rule the world. That's actually about creation restored. One day God's people will fulfill our creation purpose and exercise good, responsible leadership over this planet in the way that we were designed to do. See, the false teaching, it thrives on discontent. It says, you're not flourishing, you're not advancing. It's not human to repress your desires. And Jesus here makes you promises that are nothing short of fulfilling your destiny as a human being. And as eternity rolls on forever, you will not miss out on a single good thing that he has intended for you. Anyone who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your revelation to John that we get to hear. Father, it's such an awesome thing that Jesus knows, that the one who speaks words of power, the one who has eyes like flames of fire, knows. It is an awesome thing and a comforting thing that Jesus knows our hearts. He knows our love for you, our love for our brothers and sisters. He knows our works and our service, our patient endurance, including all the things that no one else sees. And Father, Lord, it's also an awesome and fearful thing that Jesus knows, that he is the one who searches mind and heart, that he knows and takes seriously the sinful and evil teaching we tolerate and the sinful and evil works we ourselves commit. Help us to realize how seriously Jesus takes these things, that he will punish those who refuse to repent of sinful ways and evil teaching. Help us also to see how importantly Jesus sees patient, faithful endurance. And Father, please help us to be humble and honest as a church as we hear these words and search our own hearts. Please help us to take these warnings very seriously, and also to be far more captivated by the glorious reward promised to those who endure, who stick with you until the end. Please help us to hear what the Spirit says to the churches and help us to stick wholeheartedly to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we now pray for the upcoming student weekend, where they'll be spending time thinking about patience in a fast-paced world. Lord, we pray that this time will be fruitful, a time for the students to get to know each other and fellowship together, and also, even more importantly, to see you and to know you better. We pray that the students would see, know, feel clearly how patient you've been with all your people throughout history, and to see that throughout Jesus' life, see how patient he has been with sinners like us. And in seeing your character, and in seeing your patience, please would that drive a heart change in them and a real desire to be more like you. And lastly, we turn to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters, and for churches all over the world, and particularly those under intense pressure to tolerate and accommodate false and evil teaching into the church. We pray in particular for Christians suffering persecution for their faith in Nigeria. We pray for both the churches who have lost members to Islamic militants, and for the churches facing less physically violent persecution, but who are under immense pressure to adopt other policies which seek to insert false teaching into the church, which seek to draw them away from faithful service to you. Lord, please keep them enduring in such a hostile environment. Please give them a huge view of Jesus, a realistic view of Jesus as the all-powerful ruler and judge, and a view of Jesus that sees and knows and cares for them. Please help them not to lose focus of your promises, that in Jesus they have eternal life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.